welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on Yule Bros. I'm Ronnie, and guess who's with me? He's smart, he's handsome, he's sexy, okay? He's educated and intelligent. Whoa, what a mix! His name is Ben Mandelker. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I am so, so good. Thank you. Just another beautiful... I'm doing so great. How are you doing?
Good. I was very stressed watching Real Housewives of New York City last night. It was a very stressful time, okay?
Yeah.
You know what? It's like watching a white lady car crash, okay? So that's what it is. If cars were white it ladies was. And they were just all running into each other on the freeway, okay? That's basically, that was my night, what I was watching. I was rubbernecking some white ladies crashing into each other. That was fun.
Yeah, I felt like Ebony was Frogger, and she just was just trying to get across that highway, and it was like, whoa, here I come with my car. I'm just going to drive. I don't care. I don't care if there's someone crossing the highway, okay? And then, you know, Leah comes along. She's the log, you know, and everyone's just like, it's like, someone please get Ebony to the other side of the highway. Someone
God.
Please.
Except it's where Frogger has lines. Like, it explains things as it crosses the road. It's
Frogger,
like, here's
Frogger.
Why you should not hit me, car. Okay? This is why it's totally
gets
unfair for you to hit me on this freeway.
Frogger gets into the car and is like, you probably should not be driving at this speed. And you know what? You're in my car. Get out of my car, okay?
Wow, what an episode. So here we are with Real Housewives of New York City, everybody. Yeah, it was actually a good episode. I was surprised.
It was really good. It was a really good episode. I thought I was very surprised. It managed to be, I thought, like, really, I thought there was good dialogue, but then there was also craziness happening too. And it just ended in such a bizarre place. It was great.
Well, I thought it was the funniest scene of explanations to white ladies that I've ever seen in my life. I mean, we've all either been part of those conversations or been reading these conversations or whatever for, you know, a while. And this was done in the most hilarious way, I thought. I was cracking up the whole time. It's like, this is the best serious discussion ever because I'm laughing through the whole thing.
So it was interesting to see who really, like, rose to the occasion. Like, Sonia. I mean, I think we're all sort of shocked that Sonia, especially after her episode one, fish tank of diversity, where we just sort of thought she was going to have these moments of attempting to understand and then sort of fall on her face. And she's been kind of a poster child so far, a privileged white lady ally, I guess, you know, probably not for me to say because I'm not the one being allied to. But still, I guess, like, Sonia is doing so well. And then you have Heather. Heather has been an interesting case because I feel like she has some really good moments. And then she has some moments where you're like, oh, Heather.
Well, Heather. Yeah. Condescending ass Heather talking to everybody like she's a baby.
Oh,
like they're a
so
baby.
Good.
Trying to feed Bethany a meatball. I mean, feeding Bethany that meatball or mac and cheese. It was a meatball, right? Trying to feed Bethany that meatball in the choo-choo, in the choo-choo fashion at that dinner party. I mean, I think that's the best representation of Heather I've ever seen. Like that, if an alien came to Earth and said, what's a Heather? I'd be like, it's this scene, you know, mamas.
Yeah. But I really did enjoy how Heather just riled up Leah so much by doing so little. Just really infuriated Leah. Like just, it was so good. But we're going to get into all of that
right now,
in fact.
Right this second.
Right now, this moment, okay? Ronnie, educate me. Educate me on how we're going to do this, okay?
What? We need you to educate us, okay? Teach us, Ebony. God. So here we go. So we start with Ebony and Sonia, and I wrote Tinsley. I don't know. I'm assuming that's Leah.
Oh. Tinsley's just in the bushes.
Tinsley's like, oh, my egg. So like, it's not about your eggs, Tinsley, okay? It's a very serious conversation about race. She's like, but my eggs. Oh, my eggs lost the race.
So Ebony is leaving because Luann has just kicked her out of her place. And, she's like, I'm not going to stay someplace where I'm not wanted. And Luann is livid. She is in the kitchen now with Ramona And then also her daughter, her niece, and Kurt, the nude model. And she's like, wow, well, she is angry. I mean, she's referring to race. I never brought up the color of her skin. Not once. What's that got to do with it? What has skin color got to do with it? But she is angry.
I never brought up her race. What's love got to do with it? That's my question. And Ramona's like, you know what? She's got issues, okay? So then outside, Heather's like, well, holler, mama. Listen, come on, Ebony. And Ebony's like, listen, she asked me to leave. I'm going to leave. And Heather goes, yeah, she did. She sure did. And Sonia's like, yeah, women don't want to be called angry. And when you're a black woman, avoid that. And if you do that, you just back right down and you say, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. I actually had a Nigerian football team once, and John let me sit on his lap during, you know, oh, look, it's a flying vagina. Just get out of the conversation.
Listen, mama, we have to listen even more. You know, as a black artist who I enjoy, Beyonce once sang in a musical featuring many black people, Dreamgirls, listen. And we have to do that, mama.
Oh, my God. So then, let's see. Back inside. So we're cutting back and forth a lot, obviously. Oh, and Heather comes out, of course, doing that totally Heather thing where she's making talking hands. She's like, listen, you know what we need to do? We need to listen to each other. Listen to each other. Red ball, blue square. Okay? How do they go together? How do they go together?
And I'm just like, we have to listen even when we don't like what we're hearing. Hell yes, you get comfortable with being uncomfortable. That's why you use squeeze couture. Am I right, ladies?
And I just have to point out that this is exactly how Heather said that. She goes, you know what? You need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I was like, what is that? What are you doing right now, Heather? She's so cringe. And so Ebony's like, bye, queens. So then Luann, back with Luann, she's like, listen, you know what? It wasn't even about me. I was saying that Ramona felt uncomfortable. I mean, Ramona felt uncomfortable. Someone had to say something. Yeah. Poor Ramona. Ramona feeling so uncomfortable with the sex talk.
That poor shrinking violet Ramona Singer, always afraid to speak up for herself. She's like, you know what? Right, you know what? And she got so defensive, okay? And after Ebony made such a derogatory statement as she's the smartest woman at the table, she lost me. I mean, for someone who's so well-educated, that was a really dumb thing to say. The dumb thing is that you thought she was saying anything more than her saying she had the most education. She has the most education. For you to think that you have more education than her when she literally has an advanced law degree proves that like what you're saying right now is the dumbest thing being said.
Well, I don't know her that well, but boy, did I get to know her today. Boy, did I get to know her today. Miss
Boy. Boy. You'll be getting to be knowing Ebony today. Thank you. That was an original song based off of another song whose name I don't even remember. So we'll continue on. Thank you very much. Thank you, Cabaret.
So we go back to Ramona's house, and Ebony's getting back there, and Leah's just in bed, you know, sad. And Ebony comes in. She's like, well, she kicked me out of her house. Okay, she did. And she called me an angry black woman, which technically she didn't, but yeah, she did.
Like, but that was the vibe.
I think she did.
Yeah.
So then Leah's like, no, she did not. No, she did not. No, she did not. Freaking out. And she's like, listen, I'm just trying to not get emotional because this is bullshit that I've dealt with my whole fucking life, Leah.
Yeah. And she says, you know, society does not afford black women in particular a range of emotion or just downright passion around an issue, and it's a problem, and I want my friend Luann to give me more credit than that. So she starts telling Leah what happened and everything, and she's like, listen, I had to flex based on what Luann said, so I said, hold up, Lou, don't make it about education because I have the most formal education than anyone else at the table, you know? So then we cut back to Sag Harbor, and Heather's like, you know, mamas, Ebony's a smart girl.
Well, she's the most educated person, but does that mean that you're smart?
I'm like, Luann, but that's not what was up for debate. It was literally about the term education and the idea of education and whether or not educated people say things like vagina and, you know, ass reaming or whatever.
Yeah, it's funny. No one accused you of being stupid, but you're like spending all of this time proving that you are. It's weird.
Yes.
It's like no one's even accusing you of that. Why are you doing this to yourself, you know? And so Heather's listen, she's very proud, and she should be proud as a black woman to have the highest degree that, you know, you can ever have. And the one's like, well, I'm proud of her too. I'm proud of her too. I like hot weather as well, which is why I'm always in the islands during the summer. High degrees. Here's what I'm saying. The more degrees, the better. There, I said it. I'm a supportive person. I'm supportive.
Can we get a show of hands? Who here is also supportive of Ebony and her high degrees? Kurt, the nude model you are? I can tell he is. I mean, look, we're a very progressive household here.
So then,
and I love this whole scene. So it's her niece sitting there, who someone pointed out through social media that the niece has some art exhibit based on cum. It's like cum patterns or something for like $500. So they're all, wow, you know, which is just funny because it's this whole prudish conversation about talking about sex. And she's like, here's my niece who makes cum art, you know. So it's got, we've got her, we've got Nicole, and then we've got her daughter who, you know, Victoria has like been in trouble before for saying the N-word or something, as I recall. And then you've got the nude model, Kurt, who's written articles that somebody else sent us like as an art critic, like some art critic with his head up his own ass talking about how only black people now can give reviews on black art and all this. So you've got this whole table of problematic people and Luann's ranting and raving and they're all kind of nodding at her.
They're just nodding. They keep cutting to,
they're trying to be supportive because she's going crazy, but then they kind of stop because like she's going too crazy and they've probably all learned lessons by now, let's hope. And so like even her daughter's like, well, mom, you know, this is where you just, you know, you say upset, okay? It's the word upset, okay, mom? You try that one. You know, they're all trying to help in little ways, but Luann's just too, oh!
They're also like, I don't know how much I want to commit any words to this scene because this is already going to come back to haunt us.
Yes.
So Heather's like, now Luann, you know, when you use the word angry, and I know you meant it as angry as a word, it's an adjective.
Well, she's very clearly angry. She's clearly angry. I didn't bring up race, but she's clearly angry.
And Nicole goes, upset. And that's when Victoria's like, yeah, you say upset, mom.
Say upset, and mom. Come on. So then we go back to Ebony, and she's like, oh, and now Luann's saying, oh, so I'm an uneducated person? And I said, no, you said that. I didn't say that. And she said, well, then why are you so angry? And Leah's like, oh, my God, what an idiot. She goes, oh, yeah, so now I'm an angry black woman. And, you know, she said, well, I didn't say that.
So Heather says, listen, when she said your white fragility, and everyone goes, you know what? I had no idea what that means, okay? So what? So Heather goes, so that's when you should have said, what does that mean, you know? And then they just cuts to Kurt nodding. He's like, like, who? Why do we care what Kurt has to think about this? Why are we cutting to him giving like an assent here, you know? So Ramona's like, you know what? She was just acting so upset. She was acting so, not angry, she was acting upset, so I wasn't sure what to say, okay?
Oh my God. And Heather's like, well, I know you guys don't know what white fragility means. And Ramona's like, no, you know what? I thought it's why Sonia eats that funny yogurt every morning, okay? It's a boat. Sit it. It's called white fragility. Heather's like, listen, you guys have to learn. The onus is on us right now. We need to listen. You and Leah thing, I think we can get through that. Ramona's like, oh yeah, that's just silly BS, okay? Silly. And she's like, yeah, but what happened with Ebony is not just silly BS, okay?
It's serious. Yeah, like Ramona in the background giving color commentary. This is silly. This is like, that's serious. This is silly. What? Okay. By the way, at this point, I think Heather's doing a decent job. She's like doing an okay job. I mean, she's still very Heather, but she's like getting through to the women. So I'm like, oh, good for you, Heather. So then she's like saying how, like, you know, like, you know what, mamas? I think I think to understand each other is the most important thing right now, and we have to go there with apologies. And it just cuts <out. gasps>
apologies for me, correct?
apologies for what? Giving her the finest lamb curry she's ever tasted in her life.
Well, I'm sorry that I care about your palate so much. Garth, pack it up. It's just going to be for you and me.
God. So she's shocked. And Heather's like, Luann, now I know that you, you know, feel probably attacked in your own home right now. She's like, yes, yes. Mm. And that's not cool. That is not cool. No, it's your turf. Yes. You know what? It's not my turf. It's how she reacted to me that was uncalled for.
On my turf. I'm like, on my turf. It's not my turf, but let's roll that footage of me saying, how dare you say that? You come into my home.
So Heather's like, listen, we have to strip the ego and listen to someone else's perspective. It's our responsibility as white women to push pause on our reactions and our defenses and say, like, wait a minute, what did I do to make you feel that way?
Well, I served the best goddamn lamb curry. That's what I did. Next question.
So then back with Ebony, you know, she's upset. She's like, and then it all comes out with Luann, you know, what she's been thinking about me. Oh, you're pretentious. Oh, you're an angry black bitch. And now that's how she's feeling. You know, like, save that for someone else, because that's not who I am. And Leah's like, well, you know, it is Luann, and she does think she's better than literally everybody. So, you know, that's kind of her thing. She's like, well, she works on this hierarchy and, like, this countess shit, whatever. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. And so, yeah, Leah's like, yeah, well, you're better than me because I probably would have burned down the house. So now the other girls, they come back to Ramona's place. Everyone's reunited. And Heather's like, how are my girls? Holy shitballs, am I right? Because she goes into the room with Ebony and Leah. So Leah starts saying how Luann's been very weird this whole trip. And Heather's saying, I mean, to call a black woman angry right now, I mean, you're just starting a fucking problem, okay? And I say this as someone who's been in the heart of the black community. Am I right, sister? Am I right? Am I right?
Oh, my God. She's like, I have a different lens because I have been in the core and the homes of black America. And I'm just so happy that I have had that experience. And Ebony's like, wait a minute. Could you tell me more about what you just said? Rewind a second. She's like, oh, yeah, okay. Well, you know, I worked for Puffy for 5 years. And Beyonce. I worked for Beyonce.
The
and
core like, of the black experience, guys. The core. Okay? Did you know that, like, pretty much all black people have huge album sales? Because I'm telling you this because I've just been in the core of it, okay?
Oh, my God, Heather. So Ebony like, oh, is just
Heather,
like,
you're doing nicely until this. You're doing nicely.
Heather. So Ebony is just like, but then, you know, there's like real black America, not, you know, what I'm saying. Like, that's not the entertainment industry. And Heather goes, oh, yeah. You know, I'm not talking about Puffy because that's like, you know, fake black America. You know, I was, you know, the illusion of black America. You know, I'm talking about the people who worked for Puffy. Okay. Because that's like, you know, real black America. Because they weren't making any money. They were just interns. I mean, I was in black culture. I was in black culture. It's like, just please.
So now, real black America is not earning any money.
Yes.
I'm just like, please. It's like, please just please stop. Please. Just stop. Just stop. God. Like, just like she was just about as close as one could be from saying my best friend is black. Like, just that close,
please,
you know?
Stop.
So,
yeah.
So Ebony, I think Ebony actually really summarizes it quite well. She goes, you know, Heather does have an elevated sense of awareness, but she can overfamiliarize herself with aspects of black culture in a way that makes me feel slightly uncomfortable. Like, that, I could not think of a better way to put that. I mean, yes. that's exactly it on the nose. So
Ebony
then Heather gives
on,
another example.
Ebony was actually on Watch What Happens Live last night, and I watched a little bit of it, and Andy asked her, so, you know, were you appreciative of Heather being there? And she's like, well, you know, I did appreciate Heather's take mostly, but a lot of it just felt like white-splaining, and I didn't really love that. And I thought, you know, it's Hollisplaining. It's just total
Hollisplaining.
It's Heather Hollisplaining. You know, who else could put it like this more awkwardly than fucking Heather?
Yeah, I got, like, mortified just for myself because I thought of all the times in the past that where I probably did the same thing in an effort to really be, like, I'm an ally, and I wound up just probably whitesplaining, and I'm like, oh God. Because sometimes I see myself in Heather, and it's like mortifying. It's truly like the worst thing. Holla! So then Heather goes on. She's like, you know, my friend is a gorgeous black man dressed in Gucci, and he can't hail a cab. And then so I have to hail the cab from, I have to be like, hello, taxi, hello, mama. And then finally they stop for me. I mean, I've seen things that a lot of white folks haven't seen. For instance, have you ever been to a black intern's apartment? I've seen that.
Oh my God, Heather. So she's like, listen, Luann is here, and I'm not asking you to educate her, okay? Because that's not your job. So instead, maybe you could just explain what you meant.
In an educational kind of fashion.
Yeah. Okay? Just maybe try and explain. Maybe we can get you a whiteboard or something like that. You know, and you can just draw PowerPoint. Things on there to...
Mm-hmm. Do you like PowerPoint? Puffy, use PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Maybe recommend some books.
Black existence.
Mm-hmm. Pop quizzes. Yeah. That's always good. That's helpful. Pop quizzes. They don't know
the report
coming.
Card. Afterwards, we could do a report card to see how Luann learned it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ebony's like, uh-huh. So Ebony tells us, she's like, I'm going to talk to Luann as an adult. And what I hope she apologizes for is defaulting to a trope about black women and their reactions, right? Right. So she's got a plan. So she's like, listen, Leah, because they're both in these robes. So she's like, listen, Leah, I'm just going to go have a cocktail and talk to them. And Leah's like, but what do I say? Like, what am I going to say sitting there? She's like, you don't have to say anything, okay? Heather's goes, you know what you should say? You should say, take me or leave me, girls. Take me or leave me. Take me for what I am, for what I was meant to be, okay? Now, that's a black song as well, but it's only a half black song, you know, because black and white people can sing together, as was proven in Rent, which I saw multiple times because I understand the black experience. Also AIDS, but we'll talk about that later.
I'm really kind of a beacon for intersectional experiences.
Yeah.
Let's go have a season of change. So,
it's a season of love, actually.
Season of love. How dare you? Well, holla. Well, that's what Heather would call it, a season of change. And if I knew the amount of digits in that one song, I would have recited them.
But Ben, yeah, so. There is actually a meme that goes around that says, if you don't know how many minutes there are in a year, you're probably straight. So I think I have to question you, because that's from that Rent song.
525,600
minutes. 525,000.
Well, Ronnie, here, do you want to hear the most devastating thing? Is that the first time I saw Rent was that god awful Rent live on Fox.
Okay, well, you are straight. You know, you might guys, start you might start closet, looking into a new hobby called vaginas. Okay, it might be for you.
I'm working my way up to Rent. I'm currently in my Into the Woods phase, but I'm not quite there yet. I don't know if I even want to go to Rent from Into the Woods. I think I just want to stay in the woods.
Stay in the woods. Well, you know what they don't do in the woods? Pay rent. So, no. You see, it's all full circle.
500,000 treetops in the woods.
525,000 magical beans.
500,000 greens, everything greens. Okay.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So now Ramona and Sonia are in the kitchen, and Ramona's like, you know what? My original idea for today was for us to hang out and like make some food and just like easy breezy Ramona girl, you know? So I got us apron. Wait, don't turn around. I'm gonna put on my apron, okay? It's gonna be a surprise. I'm gonna put on this apron, okay? Don't turn around. Okay. All right. Everyone ready? Here we go. And it's Ramona just in a bikini apron, of course. And she's like, this was my idea. We'd all wear funky, funny aprons that show off our ageless bodies, okay?
Yeah. You know what? We just gotta do something to get through it. It's so dark and dismal, okay? You know what? It's tough stuff. It's tough stuff.
It's tough stuff. Wow. I hope that Ebony is no longer upset. Okay. So now Heather goes to check in on Luann, And she's like saying how they should all go down and like have a talk and come to an understanding. Well, I mean, she was up off her seat in my face. I mean, granted, I do have apparently a very large face, but that's what all stars have, large faces. And she got into a celebrity's face. Can you believe it, girls?
Well, it was something that you said that actually set her off. She goes, which she misunderstood. She goes, you know what? Let's just go for it. Let's go for it, guys, okay? I'm going to put two little dolls on the table, okay? You're going to talk through this doll, and Ebony's going to talk through this doll, okay? Hopefully, Ebony has brought a chalkboard or something, okay? We're not asking her for an education, okay? Everybody, ready? Yeah. Ebony, let's do this. And Ebony's like, I'm going to need some tequila, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Well, you know, if I made somebody feel bad, I want to know about it, and I want to fix it by giving them front row tickets to my cabaret. That solves everything. Right, boys? Okay. But also, if there's a misunderstanding, like old Kenny Loggins would say, meet me halfway, okay?
So they all sit down together in the living room, and Ebony just lays it out. I mean, this was so, so good, how she just laid every single point out perfectly. Mm-hmm. She's like, yes. Lou, I want you to know that I hold you in very high regard, okay? And that's true. So when you called me angry, that was unacceptable. Now, whether you know it or not, the term angry, when referring to a black woman, has a long stereotypical history, and black women in this country have never been afforded the right to have a fully emotional experience, because the minute we raise our voice, and I fully acknowledge that I did raise my voice, and Luann's like...
This is true. This is true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Continue on. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It made me feel like you were painting me with a broad brush. And that's what we do in this country when a black woman behaves a way we don't like, okay? And it hurt me, Luann. And I would love it if you could be okay if I'm just upset sometimes and not use the term angry, because it does trigger a stereotype. And I've worked my whole life to never show up as an angry black woman because I have a responsibility to other black women. And I was like,
oh.
Yeah,
it was so good.
Like, thank you. I'm just gonna record that and use that whenever I need it, you know?
Exactly. I don't know if I would have the ability to be so poised and to just like string together those points so well, you know? I would be like, huh, well. So she's like,
well, we're also, you know, something that I think we also need to all understand is it's not just a racial thing at this point. This is a housewives show that someone has laid something out like that. Like, yeah. What? This is what? Housewives. Like,
this is just TV in general. This is just TV in general. Like, yeah. Just no one just lays it out just like that, right? So Luann goes, oh, well, thank you. And yes, you can have an autograph. Well taken. I didn't realize that. The word angry sets off that kind of reaction. I didn't say it because I tried to belittle you or make you lesser than, because that's not me. If I'm going to do that, it's by not inviting your significant other to my cabaret. We all know that. So,
I mean, listen, we all know I'm not trying to make anyone lesser, which is why I just stopped making people call me the Countess about 2 years ago. Okay, I'm a different person.
Yes, I'm not going to make anyone feel lesser, but I certainly won't pay them if they want to be in my cabaret. So for that, I'm sorry. And I think it was a major miscommunication. I was upset, and I saw that you were upset, and upset would have been a better word. And I also am in my own home. Not that I care about my turf, but I'm in my own home and I have my daughter. And so my Taurus horns just went up, as opposed to Ramona's devil horns. That's a whole other story. Hit it, boys. Anyway, but I just found myself getting angry. And you just sometimes have to educate us on that, you know? And then that's where Ramona goes, All of us, okay?
And she's like, yeah, I apologize. And Ebony's like, I appreciate that. And I hope that you would extend the same to me. It's like, oh.
No. She's like, you want me to apologize for making you upset? Well, I want you to recognize how you upset me, a cabaret star as well. I mean, people just don't do that. I mean, it's like you just barged into my dressing room and wouldn't let me even put on my face before I went on stage. I mean, who would do that?
Oh, my gosh. So Sonya goes, can you tell us how you were upset? And Heather's like, okay, guess what? We're missing the point, okay? Now we have to, especially as white people, we need to step off the curb, okay? And we need to give the apology, and then we need to move on, because she was reacting to a trigger. Do you understand? She goes, well, I'm sorry I triggered you by saying angry. I mean, I really am.
I'm sorry about it. I'm really sorry about it.
Would you like some water?
I wasn't even drinking any alcohol at the time. Perhaps I was distracted by Sonia, but I'm really sorry about that.
So she's like, well, Ebony goes, well, I received it and I accept it. And the reason why I don't want to say I'm sorry is that there's an expectation of me apologizing for having a natural reaction to a very deep-seated triggering word and concept. And I can't apologize to you for that, Luann, but I want to acknowledge that my dear friend Leah cussed you all out and called you all hoes to your faces, and nobody called her angry. In fact, she was told, Leah, calm down and come back to the table, because she wasn't held to a standard of anger. And Luann goes, well, I think she called all them hoes, but not me. So, I mean, I think we can all understand why I didn't, you know, call her angry, right? Leah's like, no, I called you all hoes. Then Ramona goes, you know what? We gave her a pass because her grandmother's dying, okay? And he's like, my grandmother's dying too. I love that she was able to snatch away the grandma card. That was a great moment.
Yeah. And then we see a clip of her talking about her grandma being really sick as well. And just Ramona kind of staring off into space like, blink. So then we come back, and Ebony's like, listen, I take you at your word, but this whole thing about whose job it is to educate you, and I'll say this to your faces, and Ramona, Sonia's like, not yours, it's not your job, that's for sure.
You know what, I wasn't asking you to educate me, okay? I wasn't asking you, okay? When I said teach me, you have to teach me, what I meant was you have to educate me, but not educate me, okay? Does that make sense?
And Ebony's like, no, you did ask. I mean, you asked sweetly, but you said you have to teach us. That's what you said, actually. She goes, well, you know what? I'm going to teach you how to cook, okay?
You teach me about race relations, and I'll teach you how to heat up a lean cuisine, okay?
Listen, you know what? Would you rather not teach me about not being racist, or would you rather know how to make a really good piece of salmon? Okay, that's it. That's all I'm asking.
Ebony's like, we're not going to deflect. So Sonia's like, you know what? The burden's on us. We're white privileged ladies. Nobody's turning the page and moving forward. We have to read the page, feel the pain, be a little bit awkward, and then turn some more pages. I was like, yeah. Sonia. Sonia, wow. So Luann's like, well, maybe you could have a little bit more patience. Maybe that's what you can have. She's like, I think I've already been pretty patient, Luann.
Yeah. She's like, come on, you know the work I do. And Heather's like, we have the responsibility to change with our actions, okay? You don't just talk about recycling. You actually have two separate cans that you put bottles in, okay? That's how to do it. Action makes change.
And Leah's just sitting there going, white people and white women just, like, need to shut up and listen. So, like, shut the fuck up, Heather, and let's listen.
Yeah. So Ebony is, so basically they're all like, okay. So Luann goes, well, I hope this was still the best day that we've had. I mean, I hope that my event day was still the best day. I mean, listen, we did still get a very large nut sack to draw. Am I right, girls?
Let's not overlook that amazing lamb curry. And it's like I always say, the minute you think you're ripe, you begin to rot. Am I right? I mean, look at Ramona over here. She's basically like a moldy banana at this point.
So Ebony's like, well, it was an honest day, so yes, I guess it was the best day. So then she's like, have fun cooking. I'm not eating with you idiots, okay? I'm going to order some comfort food.
Ice cream! Yeah,
I don't have time to explain this. I'm going to my room, okay?
What's comfort food? Is that food that comes from the Comfort Inn? Sorry, no, go what? To that establishment, okay?
I wanted to teach Ebony how to make a salmon, but she's sitting in a bedroom eating a blanket, okay?
Set. Don't understand. Okay.
I tried.
So Luann and Ebony do have actually a very nice, you know, they it was actually kind of shocking that Luann, that it only took one conversation to get through to Luann, because normally it takes an entire season. So that was shocking. But they do come to an understanding. She's like, you're a real strong bitch, aren't you? So then Ebony pulls over Sonia and she's like, you know what? You're a real queen and you need to know that about yourself. And she's like, no, well, I'm stuck. Well, I'm terrible. And she's like, and so now Ebony is on this thing where she feels like Sonia has allowed the group to classify her as a less than valuable person. And she thinks that Sonia is dope and powerful and a badass. And, you know, she just feels bad because Sonia seems to have internalized it.
Yeah. And Sonia's like, yeah, but you know what? The weight is really on us because we've put down our black people for so long. Just how Sonia word shit. And Ebony's like, okay, we're past that. We're going to get you laid now. Okay. So, yeah. Heather.
So everything, it feels like everything has, we're like, wow, this was actually a very productive scene. And everyone got through it and moved forward. And, you know, like everything is great. Like, what could go wrong? And then it's Heather.
So Ebony is in bed with Leah again, and Heather comes in and she's like, oh, great job today. That was great. Good job, Ebony. And she takes her stuff and she leaves and she goes, you're very articulate, by the way. I don't know if anyone's told you that, but wow.
And then she laughs and leaves. And it's just like, I was just
with that scrunch nose. It's that scrunch nose she gives you, like, oh god. And Ebony goes, yeah, a couple of people have told me that, Heather. And then she just turns, the door closes, and she turns to Lee and she goes, that's also a microaggression, by the way.
She's like, well, she means well, so let me give her a pass.
Oh, that was funny.
You're so articulate.
Oh my god. Awkward.
Like, so now it's the next day and Heather's just outside looking at some geese that are flying around and she goes, thank you for that. That was so pretty.
Thank you, geese. Hey, geese. Hello, Mama, you're geese. Such flyers. You are such flyers. Yeah. I don't know if anyone's ever told you that.
So then, Ramona's with Sonia and she's like, you know what? I was thinking about it. Like, what if I were the only white girl in a room full of black women? Okay. Could you even imagine? I have to empathize. You know, I have to empathize with all people and all their struggles. And like, I'm in my own little world. And thank God. Oh my God. Could you imagine if I weren't in my own little world? That'd be crazy. Okay.
And she's holding these fans in front of her, you know, like fans. It's like, what is she doing? And Sonia's just looking at her like, yes Ramona, you're doing great. And Ramona tells us, no, what, all of a sudden I'm like googling things and I'm like educating myself in ways that I never have before. Okay, well, Google, like, you know what, instance, I just start with black Google? Ladies, I just started googling black ladies. That's it. Okay.
Oh my goodness. So then Ebony calls her friend Devin and starts telling her about Sonia because Devin's like a matchmaker, and so she wants to set up Sonia with a guy because she feels like Sonia deserves love, right? Because she's all down in the dumps. And meanwhile, Sonia's talking to Luann and she's like, yeah, well, I think that Ramona's just happy because she thought she'd be the first one to get into a snafu with Ebony. And now it's because it was you. She's just really elated. Which is so funny. Ramona's like, it wasn't me. Whoa, it's like that song Shaggy, which I researched on Google. It wasn't me, okay?
Yeah. And Sonia's like, I guess I'm next to say something really stupid. I was like, oh, you had your turn already. You just don't know it yet.
Well, Luann goes, well, let her enjoy it while the moment lasts, which means like they're all just waiting for Ramona. They all know Ramona's next.
Just going to say something fucking stupid. So Luann tells us, kind of with fake tears now, because like Luann has to know she's like in deep shit now on TV, you know? So she's like, well, I still feel affected by last night. I mean, to feel that I've hurt somebody that isn't non-union is just upsetting to me. It's very upsetting to me.
Whoa. Luann and everyone who's around here, including Anita, our hospitality assistants, or Diane, or whatever her name is, okay? Guess what? I've arranged to have a Fisher person come and meet us by the waterfront, okay? So you know why? Because Sonia loves fishing. And you know what? I want to go to the beach and have a nice lunch. And since it's almost going to be 30 degrees today, I thought let's go to the beach and sit outside and eat food there, okay?
So they get ready to go to the beach. And of course, Leah's dressed like, wacky, I'm crazy dressing Leah. And Sonya's like, wow, you know, she's just so Leah. I've never asked if she's dressed appropriately for the event. I just say she's dressed as Leah.
Yeah. And then so now they're all headed in a car to the beach, and Luann's planning the party for the last night, which is going to be it's for Halloween, so it's going to be a 70s beauty pageant. And we get a flashback of Luann planning this with Ramona in the city, and she's like, all right, so here's what I want to do. I want to have something fun, like a costume night, because, you know, Ebony's the next beauty queen. I was Miss Connecticut. I'm like, what does that have anything to do with anything? You just wanted to talk about that. You're Miss Connecticut, right? That has literally nothing to do with this party.
And also, I have a typo. I planned an 1870s inspired beauty pageant. Like, wow. No, there's something.
Totally go to that.
Yeah, there's something.
Oh, by the way, can we stop at the store on the way there? I want to pick up some M&Ms. You know, because I was Miss Connecticut, you know, and Ebony was a beauty pageant queen. You know, just that.
So they get to the beach, and Leah's like, fuck this. I'm not doing this. Okay? So she just walks to the side, and Luann's like, well, we'll talk about props. So Luann and Leah go over there, and the other ladies are meeting the fisherman guy, right? And so, of course, Sonya's like, oh, hi. You fish? I love fishing.
I always get lucky. I'm a Sagittarius. I always catch a fish. Like, what?
She tells us, that mean if I knew him a little bit better, she's like, if I knew him a little bit better, I would have told him I always catch a dick, too.
Oh, don't lie. Sonya, you told him that anyway. We all know. So
I love
so
that we're like, getting everybody signed today, too. Like, she's a
Taurus. Yeah,
I love that Luann is the same sign as a Ford. I think that's kind of funny.
I know. I like that. It really works.
The irony.
So... Mark is so he's just teaching them how to fish, and then Leah is twirling in hula hoops. It's a nice throwback to that famous gif of Luann doing a hula hoop at Bethany's house, and that was the season when she was on the outs with Bethany, so she came to that party and tried to endear herself by doing hula hoops.
Yes. Everybody was ignoring Luann, so she went out on the lawn and did a hula hoop. Okay.
Yeah,
so that's what you do.
So they're like fishing in the surf, and then Ebony is fishing, and she's like, ah! And then Ramona's like, Ebony, whoa, get back. You're heading right into the jaws of the monster, okay? And it goes to, like, commercial break with, I guess, a cliffhanger implying that maybe Ebony's about to get swept off to sea and never seen from again. Yeah,
and now Ebony's like, dead, you know.
And now we come back. We have now lost a cast member. But it comes back, and she just, like, walks back a few feet. I was like, that was kind of a lame cliffhanger. Like, what was that?
Yeah, so they all sit down, and... basically start talking, but Sonya's still out with the guy, you know, and, and they're like, oh my god, she's gonna fall in love with this guy. And Heather's still out there too, and she's like, I did it. And he's like, that wasn't that bad. So Luann's like, well, you know, Ebony, I'm glad that we walked through last night and we talked everything through, because I think very, very highly of you. I woke up with a pit in my stomach. It hurt so bad, and I thought, God, I hope I didn't hurt that woman who insinuated I was stupid.
At my house. Oh, I hope I didn't do that. Wow. I haven't had a pit in my stomach this large since the time I forgot the lyrics to Money Makes the World Go Line. What is it? World Go Round. Round.
Now, you know, there's one thing I forgot to give you when you left, so put your face next to mine and selfie. Okay, now when you've got that printed, bring it to me and I'll sign it with the Sharpie. Okay. I feel better.
You can laminate
I'll sleep it. Better tonight. I'll sleep better tonight.
You know, I can't fix what's been happening in the world. And of course, by that, I'm referring to declining ticket sales for cabaret. I can't fix that all by myself, but I sure as hell can try. I can try, ladies.
So Ebony's like, you know, there's a lot that I enjoy about these women. And maybe if I ever feel comfortable, there can be like really amazing things between us or whatever. So then Sonya's still fishing, and Ebony goes like, up to Sonya.
She's like, what's on my hook? I think I caught something. What's on my hook? And Mark's like, that's the bait.
She's like, that was a lot of work. So where's the part where Heather gets hers? She's like, I mean, isn't it crazy? Like, girls, like, you have to use something that small to attract a fish in this wide, wide ocean?
Yes, that was when I think they first sat down. She's like, hey, mama, let me tell you, let me give you a little bit of my stand-up about fishing. I mean, what's the deal with fishing? You put a little bait, mama, into the ocean. You're supposed to catch a fish in a whole wide ocean. Mama, I need a better activity.
What a concept, mamas. So Ebony pulls Sonia aside and she's like, listen, Sonia, you know, we talked last night about how much I love you. And she's like, it's nice to be seen. She's like, well, you welcomed me and you stood up for me and I love love. So I called my friend Devin and she's in Philadelphia and she's a matchmaker. And Sonia's like, oh, my second home. My kid goes to school there.
And Ebony's like, we are going to find you a man. And then at that moment, Mark walks up. He's like, ladies, it's been a pleasure. She's like, stay still while that less desirable man walks away. Okay. We're going to find you a non-Mark man.
We're going to find you a non-fisherman man. Okay. Yeah. And she's like, you know, she makes me feel so special because she makes me feel like I could be worthy of deserving a man. It's like, oh, Sonia, come on. Of course you're worthy of deserving a man. You know, now, deserving of a trillionaire? I don't know. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you just have to look for a man who's actually going to love you too, you know?
Yeah.
Like they don't, so the whole the whole I need a rich banker thing isn't always going to work. But, you know, you can find love. Mm-hmm. You can find rich love too. I just don't know if it's fulfilling soul-wise.
Right. So now they're all sitting together at they're eating, and Luann's talking about tonight their like talent show thing, and she's like, "Oh, Sonia, see that bag next to all those batons? See those? That's a miming getup. I got you a mime suit for tonight," which is like the most undermining thing. Like she's gonna dress Sonia up as a mime for this. Oh, and Ramona, you can do push-ups in your evening dress. That's the talent. That's about as close to talent as we can get out of you, Elias, right? Right?
We don't want you disqualified, Ramona. And Ramona goes, you know what? My only talent is cooking and making money, gang. So what am I supposed to do? I'll work out. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, so then Ebony invites all the women over to her place to watch the results on election day. And I was like, oh, you know what? I'm not going to be available because I'm going to Baraclago, okay? Won't be able to see it at your place, okay?
Sorry, but busy. They need my plasma in Miami, okay? Or in Palm Beach. Sorry.
They need my plasma at a wonderful place called Darabago, okay?
It's like, wow. Okay, so we're going from these problematic episodes to election results with the Real Housewives of New York. Are you fucking kidding me with this?
What we learn exactly our lesson do you think 4 years ago with them? Carol Radswell's like just flashbacks of Carol crying. So Leah's like, she's like, I'm just like Leah. Of course, has the most teenager take. She's like, I'm just like so disgusted by politics and can't stand the way each side has become. Like, I don't even want to partake. Okay. Like, I struggled in 2016 and then like, and Heather, like, please don't come at me with some self-righteous, but you need to vote thing. Okay.
She's like, no, I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't going to do that at all. I was coming out with you with a question, actually. Are you going to vote? Don't you really think you should vote?
And she's like, well, if I vote, it's going to be for Biden, but it's not because I like him. It's because I want shit to go back to freaking normal.
When so was that? Like, okay. When was that exactly? Yeah. Could you name that time when shit was normal? Vote.
Yeah. Go I vote. Also just don't think it's such a, like, I don't think it's this brilliant hot take to think that politics suck right now. I think we all agree about that. Okay. And yes. I think that, like, I think it's really funny that she's accusing Heather of being self-righteous when Leah is the one making their self-righteous stance about politics.
Well, like, that's the rest of the episode is Leah, right? Because she's saying, I struggled in 2016. No, your ass didn't vote in 2016. It's on a Watch What Happens clip or a reunion clip or something that's going around. You've already said it publicly. So she's already thinking that Heather's going to give her shit. So now she's yelling at Heather already for giving her shit when, you know, Heather's not really. And also, people, you know, you're saying like you stand for minorities and this and that. You kind of do that.
You don't want to vote.
Yeah, you kind of have to listen.
And you're going to be as irresponsible to go onto national television and question whether or not it's worth yes. it to vote. I mean, like, I'm sorry. I think I'm on Team Heather for this one,
Lee. I've said this many times. Like, politics is like choosing one steaming pile of shit over another steaming pile of shit. I mean, it's like you said, it's not that deep of a take, but you still have to pick the steaming pile of shit that's going to let you have equal rights, okay?
Yeah. Thanks. You either do it or you just don't complain about it, you know? But yeah. I prefer you to actually, like... You should vote. Everyone should vote, regardless yeah. of what side you're on. Everyone
and you
should
vote can't and take be, part of it. You can't think that you're going to sit in a group of your friends and say, well, I don't know if I'm going to vote, and then nobody's allowed to say anything to you. My yeah, friends no one's sure allowed as hell aren't anything. Like that.
Yeah, isn't that literally the issue with politics, is that like people feel like everything's become so partisan that you can't step outside the what your group says? And so here is Leah saying, like, ugh, I'm so sick of the way it is right now, and don't say something that would challenge my thought. You know?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Heather was not being righteous at all, and she was pretty chill. She's like, well, she literally goes, well, so then go vote, like, no pressure, that's the only way you can make a difference. And so Leah's like, I feel like this is another way for Heather to be morally superior. Like, of course I'm going to vote, but I'm voicing my dissatisfaction. I'm like, no, you're going on national TV and questioning whether or not you're going to participate and vote, which is a different thing. And it is, I think, actually a little irresponsible if you're on TV.
And Leah's like, well, I just feel like everyone's in a cult. Like, voting is just, like, culty, okay? Politics is just culty. And Heather's like, I'm not a cult. She's like, get over it, Heather. She's like, God, you're... Girls, Mama. Mamas, this girl is so mean to me.
Anti-holla. So mean to me, Mama. In my mind, I'm thinking, oh, you better be careful, Leah. These are like the first signs. Because when Heather drops her like Mama thing, she gets so vicious. I don't feel like Leah truly appreciates that.
And Heather is not really scared of Leah.
No. Of all people. No, of course not. That's why I'm like, I mean, Heather for sure does things this episode that are like just cringeworthy.
Heather.
But she has like a steely underside that I feel like people do not appreciate. And I get so excited when it comes out. And you can feel it coming. You feel it.
So now all the ladies are getting ready and they're practicing their talents for the show. And Ramona and Sonia are in a room, and Ramona's like lifting these weights. She's like, whoa. You know what? Hi, I'm Ramona. And my talent, it's working out. It's effortless. And Sonya goes, how heavy are those? And she's like, 5 pounds. And Sonya goes, that's really heavy.
I know, but that's how I get toned and look ageless, okay? Like my daughter / best friend Avery, okay? So listen, I'm contestant number 2. My name is Ramona. I'm from New York City. Oh, I mean, we're all from New York City. You know what? This beauty pageant sucks, okay? I'm sorry. So then Ebony and Leah are downstairs. And Lua, everyone's in glam again. And this time it actually makes a little bit more sense because you know, they are getting dressed for a costume party. Although, actually, one of our listeners gave a very thoughtful response to something I said last week. Because I was going on my usual rant about glam, glam, glam. And she said, you know, it sucks for Ebony because she sort of has to do this because, like, there's just, like, I'm not paraphrasing it in a very articulate way, but basically saying there's just, like, unfair expectations and standards of women of color being on TV, etc. And so I totally do respect that, by the way. I don't think I didn't say that on the podcast, and so I do feel a little bad if people felt like I was glossing over that. That is definitely a thing. And so I totally, totally acknowledge that. But I'm just talking, when I talk about glam, I'm talking about the general overall Erica Jane-ness of everything on Bravo. But I just want to bring that point up, okay? So they're all in their glam. What, Ronnie?
Huh?
You look like you're about to say something.
No, I'm just about to read notes. Luann's okay. Like, well, you know, here's what I want. We have a pick of the 70s of Jaclyn Smith. So I'm like, so she's going on, but Leah's getting a call about her grandma. So she walks off bawling about her grandma, which is sad. And then she goes into the bathroom and starts sobbing. She's like, oh, I'm not going to ever get to see her again. You just hear all this stuff. And she's like, bye, Mom. And then she comes out totally like, hello. You know, like,
yeah, she's like, hi. Stoic face. Ready to go to a costume party.
Yeah.
So, and then she says that she would go to see her grandma tonight, except that her grandma's not responsive, so it doesn't really matter. And plus, her family's so big, she wouldn't even be able to get into the room. It's like, oh, okay. So then But Ebony's consoling Leah because Leah's really, you know, broken up about this, which, you know, I mean, how could you not be? And so meanwhile, Heather is upstairs on her phone researching how to do cheerleading routines. She's like, okay, foot forward, mama, foot back. Brr, it's cold in here. There must be some mamas in this atmosphere. Okay, I think I got that, mama.
M-A-M-M-A-S. What did we spell? Mamas. So then Ebony is fawning, you know, she's trying to fix Leah up and being nice to her and stuff. And so then Sonia's in her room, YouTubing what mimes do. And she gets a handkerchief and she's holding it like down in her hand, but it's like at her hoo-ha or whatever. And she's like pulling the vagina out of her hand. You know what I'm saying? She's pulling the handkerchief out of her vagina. Which is so Sonia in a fashion show. It's like, look at all the things I can pull out of my vagina. It's like, what do you have in your purse? You know, what do you have in your vagina?
Cabalesque. So Heather goes up to Sonia and she's like, you know, I have to tell you, mama, y'all friend Leah is just so rude to me. She's like, don't be righteous with me. I mean, you're the one who said you're not going to vote because you're so disgusted. Right, mama? Right? Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. So then Ebony and Leah are talking, and Ebony's like, oh, my God. So when we got back, Heather brings up the podcast thing again. And, you know, I told her right to her face, said, I'm bored with this. I'm bored with this discussion about the podcast. And Leah's like, oh, you know what? I just don't like when someone has to be the authority on everything. I mean, race, voting, dead grandmothers, like she's just at the forefront of it all, which is true. You know, got to give Leah that one. And Ebony's
but
like,
also,
well,
Leah reads into that too. Like, she definitely projects her own shit onto these women. That, like, yeah, Heather is like the
Heather does hollow splain everything. She really
she
does.
She hollow splains, but Leah's also very sensitive to feeling like people are being, you know, marm, like school marms to her. It's like a bad combination between the two of them.
Yeah. So she, Ebony's like, well, you know what? I mean, I told her, look, Leah, I'll tell you. The stakes are very high with my existence in this country. Like, voting is important. And she goes, oh, did she say that? She goes, well, I mean, she said that we have a responsibility to vote, but, you know, Ebony just said that to you. Like, Ebony just said that to you, and you're fine with it. She knows that Heather said it. So now she's like, that's it. We're done. We are done. My God.
So then Leah goes out to the balcony and she's like, Heather, why are you talking about me and what I said? Let's not forget, by the way, that like for three episodes leading up to this trip, Leah was just like talking about Heather and bringing up Heather. This woman she doesn't really know, talking about a podcast about other people, like something that was really not her fight to have. And she spent so much time talking about Heather behind her back. And now she's like, why are you talking about me and what I said? Do not talk about if I want to vote or not, because it's none of your business. You're white feminism 101. You are the fucking problem. You think you're the authority on everything. Do not talk to me. Do not talk to me about anything I say. Like, why do you have to be at everyone's business like a Karen? Yeah, Karen. It's a phrase on the internet that I know about. And it's none of your business. Do you understand what I'm saying? And Heather looks at her and goes, not really.
Yeah, she pulls the old Luann. You know, don't say that Heather doesn't learn anything, because she came back with like the Luann's best line. She's like, not really. So then she laughs and Leah's like, fuck off. Literally, fuck off. Do not talk to my friend about me. And she's like marching. And Heather's like, oh my gosh, you have some kind of anger, which I can say. Okay, Leah. And Leah's like, well, I don't care about what you have to say. Well, clearly.
Listen, just be quiet for 1 second. Like, you don't have to be part of every single conversation.
Oh,
just
really?
Don't, you don't
really?
Speak your
because
mind about
you're not. You're not in this conversation. And then wasn't she the one freaking out when she wasn't included in Ramona's conversation, stalking all over the house, yelling and screaming that Ramona was trying to have a Leah, just...
Yes, you're right,
I saw that pointed out on the internet, and I was like, that is so fucking true. I can't even. It's like arguing with someone else's teenager. You know, it's like, I don't have to deal with you. I don't want to, okay? Go fight with your parents about this. I just want to get drunk and wear wigs.
You are the problem. Karen's like you. You are the problem.
Also saying Karen, you know, Karen is a term to describe like a racist white lady. Like that's how yeah. Karen started. It was like Karens exactly. were like the racist ladies who were like, you don't belong in this neighborhood. I'm calling the police. You know, it's like Leah doesn't even know what she's calling people.
I and know. I actually calling... felt like it was pretty. You're, she's sort of calling an ally that even if I mean, even if Heather is, you know, she clearly, you know, messes up and white explains whatever, but she's still like attempting to sort of be aligned with, you know, with Leah, and Leah is calling her a Karen. It just feels actually a little unproductive to me, you know?
Yeah. So, and also she's like boomer Karen. Oh my God, grow up. So, Leah's like, fuck off. Literally fuck off. So then let's see, where are we here? So Heather goes, it's just such an outlandish display. I mean, she sounds like a dingbat. Okay, I'll say that.
Did I curse? I'm sorry. Dingbat. Which is like a very mom way of insulting her.
Yeah. Because
Heather is still very Heather. So then Luann is like, well, you all look fabulous, girls. You all look absolutely fabulous. So Ebony then comes downstairs because she doesn't want to seem like she's like some gossip talking shit about Heather. And she's like, this is what I said. I said, I feel that like, I said, I feel as you feel that everybody that can vote in this election should. And Leah's like, I knew that dumb bitch was going to talk about me. I knew it. I knew it.
And then Leah does that thing again where she runs back into the room to start screaming again when the conversation's trying to move on, you know. And she's like, you don't care if I vote. You just care if I vote for who you want. And Ramona says, oh, my God.
Well, wouldn't most people feel that way, by the way? Don't most people care if people want people to vote the way they're voting? Isn't that kind of a thing? Isn't that like why people campaign and or like put up signs, right?
Yeah.
I think that's like a pretty normal thing.
So Leah's like, my grandmother is dying. And she's like, you went up to Ebony and said it's irresponsible not for me to vote. It is. Okay. Sorry. It is. Yes. And you're going to hear that from like any fucking that's, mature adult.
That's the most partisan thing of all time. Is that it's irresponsible if you don't vote. It truly is. I'm sorry. And if you don't... and or maybe I should say it's irresponsible if you don't vote and then you complain about the way things are.
Yeah. So then Ebony's, she said, you said I was irresponsible. And Heather goes, did I use that word, Ebony, that specific word? And she's like, yeah, I think that you did. And Ramona's like, well, you know, there goes Leah. Now she's unleashing on Heather, just like she unleashes on me. Good job mm-hmm. inviting Heather. Me, okay? My name is Ramona Singer, and my talent is patting both of my shoulders at the same time, okay?
Oh, my goodness. So, let's see. Where are we? I got a little lost in all this because so many
we're at the end.
Happening.
Okay, so we go to the Heather van. Said, they're packing up okay. in the van to go. And Leah's like, oh, fuck this. And Luann's in there. And so Leah comes into the van. And Leah, who's just started this huge fight, screamed at everybody, made everybody, you know, feel like shit.
Right.
Goes in the van. And she's like, well, so much for a fun night. Like, oh my God, you like, did
yeah,
this.
Everyone was like in a great mood. Everyone looks great. They're having fun. Luann is not in a problematic costume, so there has been some growth, and it's gonna be a great, wonderful night. And you're the one going nuts. I mean, admittedly, she is going through a I'm leading by example. I'm giving a shred of grace, but otherwise, I'm still saying, like, whatever, you're still acting like a lunatic. You actually shouldn't even be there in the first place.
Leah acts like this always at every event, whether or not her grandmother is dying. So I'm not going to give her that grace. Like, I'm sorry that your grandmother is dying. Like, it has nothing to do.
Well,
to me, it's like you don't get to use that as an excuse to act like this. You've ruined the whole
fucking
trip,
basically. Ebony's going through the same thing. And
you ruined the whole trip and you're kind of ruining the show. It's like, how many episodes do you get to ruin with this bullshit? It's not fun.
Well,
I don't think it's ruining.
I think it's entertaining still, but I think it's like sort of sad too. Like, it's a very, very primal regression that she really becomes like a 12-year-old. And so So Leah's in there having a tantrum in the limo, and Luann's like, oh, I forgot the hoops. I forgot the hoops. So she leaves, and Leah's like, oh, please don't leave me in the van with her. Please don't leave me in the van with her, because Heather's getting on board. Heather goes, oh, relax, bitch.
Yeah, relax, bitch. And Leah's like, oh, really? And then she's standing up and getting in Heather's face and yelling at her, you're going to call me a bitch? Fuck you, Heather! Just go. Just fucking go.
Luann's like, hurry up, girls. They're going to kill each other in the van. Hurry up.
God. Cannot.
And so Leah's like, I'm not going. I'm not going with her. So Leah storms out. She's like, I'm not going. I'm going to go see my grandmother. I'm not going to go. I'm not going with Heather. I don't want to talk to her or see her. She's a psycho. Literally, all she did was say that you should vote. And then she told Ebony that she thinks that you should vote. And guess what? We're all saying it now. Congratulations. You made it a thing where now the whole audience is being like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Vote.
I mean, does she just get furious at election time in general where every sign is like, vote. Your vote counts. Vote, 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 vote. Like, fuck you, sign. Fuck you, billboard. Fuck you.
Kelly Clarkson doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's because of voting, okay? You have to vote.
You're saying that that's a good thing that Kelly Clarkson happened, am I right? Or are you suggesting that that's a bad thing? Because I will walk the fuck out of this room if you suggest that Jessi Guarini should have been voted into American Idol.
Oh, hell no. Okay. No. I was afraid for a moment there that you were going to say you didn't like Kelly Clarkson.
I love Kelly Clarkson. Of course I love good. Her.
You she scared was a me, Dairy Ronnie.
Queen. She was a waitress at Dairy Queen. Okay.
We both scared each other. We both scared each other that we both had a moment of self-doubt in our nearly 10-year podcast relationship. We're like, wait, have we never realized that one of us doesn't like Kelly Clarkson?
Is this divorce? Is this happening?
We both love Kelly Clarkson, guys. And by the way, at the end of the day, when things are tough and things are strained and we have these difficult conversations, just remember, there's Kelly Clarkson.
There's always Kelly Clarkson.
Something we can all gather around, Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, guys. Well, that was the end of Real Housewives of New York City, everybody.
Yes.
We did it.
A fraught episode with tough conversations, but good conversations. And that was an episode. I think this season is really, after a slow start, has really just like, it's just, it's going full steam. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the season, but Leah needs to come up with a new shtick because I'm tired.
It's called therapy. Yeah. So you guys were
called a fly swatter. She needs some parenting. I want to see her mother come on the show and fucking Bunny. Parent her. Okay. Smack her Someone with a fly Bunny. Swatter. Get a wooden spoon in your glove compartment. I don't care. Hit her. Spank her. I mean, hit her. You know, do whatever know, you need to true. Do, but fix her because I can't. Okay, Someone, everybody. Please. We'll see you next time.
Yeah. Oh, did we ever mention this is Scrappins on Demand? Scrappins on Demand.
So I don't know. Everyone, I just drank a fresh coffee, so I've got George Washington wooden teeth over here. So come watch the video, okay?
We'll be back on the next episode with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Bye, everyone. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony. Junie, she's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, Cease and Desisto.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
In the Hizzy with Jay Hizzy.
We will. Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Capsewell.
Cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
We're a fan of Michael Lamb.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.